Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency. I am your host, Rainmaker. Today we will find out all about a wonderful organization called POWER. I met with board member Kivette Palmas and community organizer Mary Vent. While sitting with them in downtown Olympia, I felt comfortable in their cozy office. They gave me highlights and understanding of their deep and touching history, discussed the power structure of their organization, and described the most prominent and exciting skill-building workshop currently in effect. Later, we will also be finding out about a few of the groups within POWER, such as the Alchemia Feminist Economic Collaborative and the Childcare Collective. Also in this hour, we will find out more about their outreach, advocacy, and personal involvement by hearing their own relatable stories that brought them to work with POWER. It was in hearing their stories that I really came to understand the important work that they and everyone who becomes a part of the POWER family do, whether they are board members, volunteers, or members of the community in need. It is the kind of work that puts the unity in community. I also asked them about how to contact them for help and to volunteer and donate. Here is POWER. I am interviewing two members of POWER here. POWER is Parents Organizing for Welfare and Economic Rights. And we have Mary.
Hi.
And introduce yourself.
My name is Mary Vent. I am a longtime member of POWER, a former board member, and the current community organizer.
Awesome.
Hi, my name is Kivette Palmas. I have been with POWER for 4 years now, and I am a board member.
Awesome. Okay. I would like to know a brief history of POWER and ROC, Welfare Rights Organizing Coalition. Tell us who you are.
POWER is an organization of low-income parents and allies. And this, I'm just giving you our mission, that are working towards a world where poverty is eradicated and children and caregiving are honored.
Let me introduce here briefly Monica Peabody, who Mary referenced often throughout the interview. She is one of the founding members of POWER, along with Kat Sullivan, and was the former executive director.
I'm going to get on our website because our history... Well, I wasn't here for our whole history, but I do know about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people can go to your website, too, and read about the history as well.
Mm-hmm. It's www.mamapower.org. And on our website, it talks about how ROC ended up folding, and Gene Coleman, who was the executive director at the time, was dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. So I never met Gene Coleman. I came in after she died, and at that time we had a full staff, actually, mm-hmm. Because she left a legacy donation when she died. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the people, well, the people that have been here before me, like Monica, Shelley, Kat, they all knew Gene. And I guess, you know, Monica was with Jean, like, you know, when she was on her deathbed, just taking in information on how to run POWER. And now people will say, you know, oh, Jean says this or Jean did that. And I feel like
her spirit
is being passed down to me, even, you know, like in a family, like, you know, your mother's recipes,
yeah.
You know, I know some
the legacy.
Yes. The legacy of Gene Coleman is still going, yeah. That's and her money, like, you know, disappeared a long time ago, but so yeah. We didn't have a staff for a long time, but her legacy is like a strong foundation in this organization, yeah.
That's awesome. And
And so I'd like to know about the different services you offer. I understand that you have advocacy, welfare witness, and outreach, and legislative and policy change. Is that right?
Yes. I'd say it's been a little while since we've done legislative work. Mm-hmm. I think last time the I went as part of the Interfaith Works Day, but I just kind of went as a citizen. I've gone before with Power. I'd say that's something that we haven't really done as a group for a while. Mm-hmm. And when we do, Monica, who's our former executive director, we don't have an executive director anymore because we do what we call a flat, non-hierarchical leadership systems.
Oh, yeah.
So, but she's like the one that kind of leads us through it when we do it because she's an expert at that sort of thing. Yeah.
I love that. I'm a little familiar with that kind of structure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's like it's something you work at, you know, because we're coming from this world. We're just not used to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it feels right.
Yeah.
To do things that way.
It's more natural and community-oriented.
Yeah.
Everybody has a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're meeting together and, figuring out problem solving and deciding different kinds of, things that y'all are doing in unison with each other. Not one person is making all the decisions.
Right.
Is that how that works?
Yes. So, like, even at a board meeting, people can show up that aren't board members and they can say, their voice matters too.
I love that. That's how we make the community strong.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, what about the outreach?
Outreach is something in the past we used to do at the welfare office. We don't really do it there anymore because they don't let us do it inside. We may try to appeal that at a later date. We used to go straight into the welfare office with coffee and pastries and stuff. But then for a little while we didn't have a staff at all and we were volunteer run, so we just... our services dwindled down, and when we came back to do it, they were like, nope, you don't get to do it anymore.
Oh.
But we still leave our brochures there, and we do outreach at food banks. I've done it at, community feeds outreach, where we just go with coffee and tell people about our organization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could call what we do services, but we don't really... we're more like community organizing than providing services. Like... Alchemia isn't a service, it's a group.
Oh, okay.
And so, do you know what I mean?
Kind of. I'm like, okay. I'm like,
we provide allyship and support.
Oh, what does that look like? Give me
that looks like example. Like if somebody had to go to a meeting with their welfare worker and they were intimidated and they might feel like they were not getting their rights met. We would go with them and maybe not even say anything. We just have found that people, when they have somebody with them, they'll get treated better. You'll get your rights met. Like, people aren't going to try to pull something on you if
Absolutely.
You have a witness. And we've done that even with people that have had CPS calls. We go and, just make sure people are being treated fairly because we know that people will be stigmatized because of poverty.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that why a lot of people... end up losing their kids, or a lot of why people wind up in jail is just because of poverty, so to have somebody there kind of witnessing it does help a
validating
lot.
Validating people and their experiences and showing up for them, letting them know that they have support and they're not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone.
So important.
Yeah, because otherwise you just have all these experts telling you what your life is about, and you're the expert on your life.
Yep.
They're not the expert.
Yep. That is so powerful. That is some big, important work you're doing.
Thank you.
Emotional about this.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, like that makes my soul sing. Let's see. Then we have all the workshops.
Kiki, do you want to talk about the workshops?
We have
Kiki's been organizing them.
Yeah,
we
have nine types of workshops: skill building, rights and economic systems, poverty awareness, personal storytelling / power down, movement building, legislative advocacy, working with the media, leadership development, that's all listed on your website. Are all of those workshops still active?
They are. We mostly have been prioritizing the Sock Monkey workshop. Sock Monkeys for Social Justice. This gives people in our community an opportunity to come in and to, not only using a writing workshop, learn how to tell their stories, but they're also able to create monkeys out of reused goods in order to visually display their story, which is really awesome. And we provide the supplies. We even we recently started the writing workshop, which has been super helpful with helping people with writing their stories. Skill building. We have been working with, well, I'm living testimony of the skill building, because when I first started with Power, I am an artist. I have been doing art for 30 years, but I never had the opportunity to really display my work and be active in the community using my work until I worked with Power. And with the helping with childcare, with them helping with, honestly, emotional and self-building. I was able to actually see it within myself to be able to give back to my community. So it's been wonderful.
That is such an amazing healing journey, and you just gave me the little highlights. You didn't go into the deep dive. I want to hear your story.
Well, my story is, I am a formerly single mom, now happily married, mother of three kids, originally from Detroit, who has experienced traumas that could be a bestseller if it were a book.
I get that.
And as a result, I really did not see much of myself as a person or what I could contribute outwardly. Ever since starting with Mary, with Power, I understand why they call it Power, because you're able to, by participating in the workshops, by engaging in with the community, you're able to see how you fit in as an individual with the bigger picture. And it's just little things like I didn't realize how much I was being held back by not having childcare.
That's huge, man. That is huge.
Yeah, those things will keep you forever busy.
Yes.
And that's all you can do.
And all three of my children are neurodivergent. They're on the spectrum. So
I feel that. I have same experience.
Just having a couple of hours a week of respite to gather one's mental has been absolutely amazing, to the point where, yeah, now I'm running workshops.
That's,
I used to participate in the workshop. Now I run the workshop. It's awesome. And I get to engage with different members of my community and hear their stories and relate and empathize and help them find their voice in various ways. It's truly a wonder.
It feeds the soul to empower other people while empowering yourself.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that so much. I'm so glad for you.
Thank you.
You are listening to Resource Report and my interview with Power. We will be right back after a brief message.
Power, Parents Organizing for Welfare and Economic Rights, is an organization of low-income parents and allies advocating for a strong social safety net while working toward a world where children and caregiving are truly valued and the devastation of poverty has been eradicated. Through workshops, education, and information, Power helps ensure that being poor doesn't mean hopeless isolation for parents and children. Power has an information hotline, holds regular meetings, special events, and workshops to enable parents to navigate the often confusing social services system. To find out more or to get involved, you can contact Power locally at 360-352-9716 or toll-free at 866-343-9716 and online at mamapower.org.
Another big thing, we participated in the Poor People's Campaign March back in March. And I grew up hearing about the Poor People's Campaign and their ties to Martin Luther King Jr., but to actually be able to participate was like a spiritual experience, yeah. Honestly. You know, yeah. Just to see all these hundreds of people who have come together to fight for us, and we are us, and to realize how many of us there are. I got my food handler's license to help make hundreds of meals for a thousand meals for the day, peanut butter and jelly, the teamwork. Being able to engage with members of my community that are otherwise forgotten. Phoenix. It has been honestly, absolutely life-changing.
That's amazing.
I am a new person, and it is thanks to Power, and I am so grateful for it.
It's fabulous.
Thank you.
Such good news.
I mean, I have this similar story. Where, I mean, when I first came to Power, I mean, the fact that they even had childcare was what got me back. Like, how do you empower low-income parents? Well, you share the load, you know? So there was childcare here, and that's what brought me back. But, like, we would come here, and this was, you know, 2011. And we would have our important meetings and talk about, you know, important stuff. And usually nobody will think what we're saying is important because we're not, quotes, successful. While people took care of our kids, it felt really validating, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I always knew that I knew that from when I was a child, I knew that my grandmother's work was important.
Yeah,
taking care of everybody.
Yeah.
And she didn't get credit as being important, you know. But here, like, you know, that's part of our mission, to honor caregiving. It's an important job, and the people that do it matter. The people that do it deserve to be able to do other things too, you know?
Yeah, like, going over your website, I totally got that vibe that y'all are, like, all about changing the narrative around
The narrative, yeah.
Yeah, shifting the paradigm.
Yeah, the shifting. That's what the original, like, manager of the Olympia Child Care Collective called. He called it a radical paradigm shift.
I love it.
Yeah, and he said when he first started doing child care, he had never taken care of children before. He wasn't from a family with a lot of kids. But he wanted to be part of making the world a different place.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And he, like, recruited, at that time, it was a lot of, like, men that were doing the collective. You know, he recruited them. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, less welfare mamas would be in this room doing important meetings, and the guys would be in there.
That's awesome.
It's not exactly like that anymore, but it is like that,
that
still.
That was a good start to a paradigm shift.
It really was.
Goals.
It was, yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
I'd say most of our providers are women or non-binary people at this point, yeah.
Tell me more about this child care collective. How does it work? Like, tell me, what is, you know, how does a regular day happen? Like, what is the process? How do people, you know, receive this service?
Well, you come to our workshops, and we'll have childcare for you. And you can even, I mean, it works in a lot of different ways. Like, there's people that have their own providers, and we'll just pay. We pay grandparents, you know.
Okay, so the childcare is for people who are coming to your workshops. Uh-huh. But what if somebody just really needs childcare to get their life together but aren't going to a workshop? Do y'all help?
Well, we have what's also, we don't have just childcare, but mm-hmm. we have what we call open workshops.
Okay.
And, like, you can use that time to just get your life together. Like, open workshop is, it's whatever you need to do. So if you need to bring your TSHS paperwork, if you need to do a resume, if you need to finish your art project, it's whatever that parent needs to do that they mm-hmm. don't have time to because they're taking care of other people every second of their life. And the open workshop gives parents the space to do that.
That's fabulous. That is an amazing resource right there.
It's
like when you were in high school and you could choose to have like study hour or something.
Right.
Going to a different class and you just use that class to like work on other homework.
Yeah, and so that's what it is. Yeah, we help people with their like DDA paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
Habitat for Humanity paperwork, just all different things, you know.
Okay, so in that time people can also just get help navigating different processes for things.
Yeah, and if they're here and they're filling out something, if they need me to look up stuff to help speed it along, I could do that too, you know.
That's really awesome. That is a boon for neurodivergent people.
Really?
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that, but we have a lot of neurodivergent people uh-huh. here. There's a big overlap between disability, neurodivergency, and poverty.
Yeah, you know? When you have, like, severe ADHD and you forget all the time and you can't, like, keep track of your schedule and you miss appointments, you know, you need support to, like, keep that all structured.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get overwhelmed mm-hmm. with all these processes, having to make phone calls and schedule things. Oh my God, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And y'all help.
Then the procrastination starts, and then you get more, you know.
And it piles
just
up.
Just piles
then,
up.
Then
you know.
Now you're like ready to jump off a bridge. That's crazy. Yes.
Sounds like you can relate.
I had to learn my own tools to keep myself together. And that is one of the things that I advocate for is helping people find tools like that. And that's a very good tool that you offer.
Yeah, it just came about because, you know, just because that was like, you know, what I was hearing a lot from caregivers is I have all this stuff to do, but I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's our next workshop. Then it's open workshop. It's whatever they need to do. They can
I
do
love
it here.
It.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Poverty awareness. Monica has this sheet. It's called Welfare Myths and Facts. And there's all sorts of myths about people. They stay on it for years. They become lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that are on welfare are black and brown, blah, blah, blah. And then we give you the facts, what's really the real deal. And I don't have that sheet with me.
That's okay.
I have to ask.
That's okay. That's important to know that that's empowering to break down those stereotypes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say it's been a while since we've done economics 101 or reproductive justice mm-hmm. workshops. Legislative advocacy is where we've taken, you know, we've just met up and we're going there and we've had people testify, you know, before their lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Or just even just, you can just talk to them if you walk up to them in the Capitol building, which I've done before.
That's kind of like when you're, you know, y'all support people going to appointments and things. It's
right.
It's basically the same, but
it's like that.
Okay.
Except for you, like, walk them through it, because there is, you mm-hmm. know, which I'm still kind of rusty on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Last time was, like, the only time I went without Monica. And even then, somebody will see how lost you look, and they'll walk you through it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's
because really there's people that are just so excited to get people in. They're like, I'll help you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. It can be really intimidating when people, like, they're fighting for their kid, you know, in court with whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're divorcing or CPS or whatever, you know, and the way you present yourself is so important. you know, and then having you guys there to just be present and help walk through processes, mm-hmm. that eliminates so much of that fear, and then people can compose themselves for that face, you know? Mm-hmm. That's so good. In the types of services you provide, what do people lack the most understanding and awareness about?
How prevalent poverty actually is. How close they are to, how much closer they are to the houseless person on the street than they are the billionaire they see on TV. And how that viewpoint limits us all as a society mm-hmm. from actually achieving equity, of actually achieving not a utopia, but just a decent way of living.
Yeah.
You know, like, the people are so busy being temporarily embarrassed billionaires that they can't see how much we all hate poor people.
It's true.
But how we are also poor people.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to laugh because it is very serious, but we really, really need to refocus on seeing the humanity in each other.
Definitely. Do you have anything to add?
Will you say the question over again?
Yeah. In the types of services you provide, what do people lack the most understanding or awareness about?
I mean, pretty much ditto what Kiki said. Like, there's like that internalized self-hatred and that I'm not like the other poor people, or that kind of thing. Just being hard on yourself. Like, I made that mistake. Well, a lot of people made mistakes. Mm-hmm. You didn't have anything to fall back on when you made your mistake, you know? One time when I was first interning here, and I was very that abused the system. I was like, so, and I was very new. I was so embarrassed. And finally I said, but did you need the money? Like, did you benefit? Would your life have been worse? Like, did this help you get on your feet? And he was like, yeah.
Come that to acknowledge self-awareness.
He benefited in a good way, you know?
Yeah. That was some good work you did with him there.
Thank you. We're like the best people. We're doing it for all the people, you
That's
know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like, there are people who have, like, this idea that, you know, the stigma around just going to the food bank. They don't want to be seen at the food bank, you know, but they need it. They don't want to acknowledge it.
I love the food bank.
Yeah.
I see all my friends at the food bank.
Yeah.
The staff is so nice, you know. Yeah.
What do people struggle the most with?
Like, as poor people, as from being in poverty?
The issues that y'all work with.
Housing is the number one thing that people struggle with. Yeah. Poor people and even more middle income people even are really, really struggling with housing. Yeah.
Housing is an issue.
From the time I was a kid, housing literally costs like twice as much as it used to. So you used to be able, if you had a welfare check, you had an apartment.
Right.
And now a welfare check doesn't cover an apartment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Rent's too darn high.
It
housing
is.
And then childcare, especially since most of our, not most, but a high percentage of our people are neurodiverse or their kids are neurodiverse. So it's really, it's hard to find childcare for even your most, you know, typical child.
Yeah.
But it's almost impossible for people that have disabilities, or kids with disabilities.
What services of yours get used the most? Would you say it's the childcare?
It's the childcare collective, yeah, because it's childcare is at every event.
Yeah.
So if we have a workshop, we have childcare. If we have arts walk, childcare is here all day. We have 2 full days, childcare all day.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Community Powered Radio on KAOS 89.3 FM Olympia, a service of the Evergreen State College. I am your host, Rainmaker, and this is Resource Report, where we share important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations. That message, we will hear board member Kivette Palmas tell us her story about the Alchemia Collaborative, followed by information about how to connect with Power for support, volunteering, and donation.
Hey, this is Craig Chiquiso with a little helping of my guitar. And you're listening to your listener-supported, volunteer-powered community radio station, KAOS 89.3 FM Olympia. Helping keep independent music alive since 1973.
Support for KAOS provided by Orca Books in downtown Olympia, featuring over 75,000 volumes of new, used, and out-of-print books. Orca Books, 360-352-0123 or orcabooks.com. Orca Books is a Chaos member discount business.
Welcome back to Resource Report by Pathways to Agency. Let's listen to Kivette Palmas, board member of Power, tell us all about the Alchemia Feminist Economic Collaborative.
What is the Alchemia Feminist Economic Collaborative?
It's an organization started by one of the moms that used to be here. And it used to be the Women's Economic Collaborative, but now it's called the Alchemia Feminist Economic Collaborative. And it was for... It started because people were sick of going to the legislator and asking for enough and never getting it. So they said, we want to start our own side hustles, businesses, use our talents, work it around our family, which is just as important as a job, except for, you know, you need the job to pay to take care of your family, right? And it's Kiki's a member, an entrepreneur who's really like skyrocketed in Alchemia.
Gosh, when I first started, I barely had the time of day to even think about creating. Mm-hmm. I now have over 75 pieces of different works and arts that I can sell and are allowed, like, and can sell through Arts Walk twice a year, which is amazing to me. Like, when I started, I had my art on the wall, which was like a huge honor to me to even see that. And now I've got a tent and I'm able to engage with the community even more so. Like, it's like I feel like I'm in the big leagues.
So exciting.
It is super exciting. And it's thanks to Alchemia. Like, I have done research into what it takes to be a artist that does markets.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
The barrier to entry alone.
Oh yeah.
The cost. Mm-hmm. The needed energy.
It's almost like gatekeeping.
It is gatekeeping.
It is totally gatekeeping.
You only have enough privilege to you get in.
Right. Like, you got to have $500 to get a corner table.
Oh, my Lord.
In order to maybe be at an event that... Well, they try to sell it. Like, oh, there'll be 10,000 people there. They don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know. But you're paying... Like, thanks to Alchemia, I'm able to do what they do. It almost leaves me speechless with how amazing of an opportunity I've been presented. I have branding. I am a name. Art by Kivette. It's amazing. Like,
I'd love to hear that. That makes me feel so good to hear that.
Most of our members are artists, but it is all different businesses. Like, yeah. We have a bookkeeper. We have musicians. Helsing Junction Farm is an Alchemia member. Mm. For a while, we called them our anchor. Because they're the ones that really making money.
Okay. I had come out for the Spring Arts Walk, and I swung by here, and there were a whole bunch of tents and tables in your parking lot. Mm-hmm. So some of those was that Alchemia? I saw a lot of different little handmade things.
Yeah, there was a lot of Alchemia members out there, but we also had, like, different organizations out there. We had Pipe there last time. I think maybe Pipe was... the only outside organization we had last. Phoenix is Integrate. Okay. Oh, Overdrawn. We had Overdrawn too. I'm forgetting them. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And so Alchemia has, like, organizations that are members within the organization. Like, Overdrawn's one organization that's local, and they it's like disenfranchised, houseless, and formerly houseless, mostly guys doing art. And then Azure does the Bum Jug Collective, which is literally just, like, street artists, unhoused street artists, travelers, you know. And Azure does mostly, like, upcycled material. So Azure will just find, like, trash and make something beautiful out of it.
So y'all are kind of collaborating with different groups with that collective.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it's only, like, those are the only other two groups. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Within the group. But.
Okay.
Best way to find out about our workshops is Facebook. We also have a newsletter, but Facebook is, like, where you're going to hear it first.
Yeah.
When we have workshops coming up.
Definitely, and usually, check out the Facebook page.
Yeah, and a lot of times I'll do them in advance. We're kind of slowing down because I have to get ready for our board retreat and our annual letter. Mm-hmm. So we won't be having any workshops until December.
Okay, that's really good to know. Let's see. Oh, donations. What kinds of donations do y'all accept or need?
Well, we mostly don't like stuff. Like, people sometimes will drop us off toys or clothes. Mm-hmm. On our front, we don't need that because we don't have that kind of storage here. Yeah. Unless it was, like, a very special toy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we agreed that we wanted. But we could use, I mean, sometimes we need office equipment. We've had computers donated. We could use a printer right now, actually. And then, of course, cash or gift cards, too. Mm-hmm. We can always spend gift cards on, like, food for events, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If people do have office supplies to donate, would you recommend them reaching out to you first to discuss what
they are? Yes, definitely. Because for the most part, we don't even really need that. You know, we have very limited space here.
Mm.
We definitely need a printer, though.
Okay.
We have one printer, and it does black and white, one-sided.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We need volunteers.
Volunteers.
Oh, yeah. Volunteers,
yeah.
Badly.
Tell me about volunteering.
It could be kind of whatever it is you want to do, and also what we need.
Mm-hmm.
So we could use somebody to redo our website right now. We have a closet that needs to be cleaned out. I would like to train somebody to do outreach and advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to train more people to do that. Is there anything else you want to say about that, Kiki?
I think so. I think that's about it. We need people. We need the community to help the community. We're literally all in this together, and everyone can come in and play to their strengths. You don't have to be the best at everything. You don't have to even be a jack of all trades. If you've got one good skill, come. You're welcome. That's it.
Do y'all have any kind of like scheduling structure, or what does it look like if somebody says, "Hey, Power, I want to come and volunteer, and this is what I can do"?
I would say, when's a good day for you to come in, and we just figure it out.
Okay.
My schedule, I'm the only paid employee. I'm the community organizer. I'm part time. Mm-hmm. My schedule's pretty flexible. I do have, you know, like kid obligations, but it's fairly flexible. Mm-hmm. Normally I have a kid today, but his dad has him. Actually, he goes to school. I drop him off and I pick him up.
Oh,
but
right
his dad
on.
Has him today. He stayed home sick. So,
yeah, right on. So if somebody does need support for anything and they reach out to you, how do y'all meet with them?
Here. I would meet with them here.
You come down here.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're located at, give us your address.
309 Fifth Avenue Southeast, Olympia.
Yeah.
98501. We're right next door to Rainy Day Records.
Yeah, y'all are sandwiched nicely between Orca Books and Rainy Day Records. Nice.
We're just a few blocks from the inner city transit bus station.
And y'all have a cute little parking space, so people don't need to worry about parking meters.
Right. Well, if there's room, which there's plenty this morning, right? Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that y'all want to share?
I think I said it earlier in that we are all in this together. We are our community, and it will only be as strong as we allow it to be.
Yep.
I would like to say that this organization is for parents and allies. Sometimes I've heard people say, oh, this, you know, it's not really a good fit for me because I'm not a parent. But that's not true. Like, we've all are part of the community. It's parents and allies. We've all been children, you know. So it's the issues that are important to Power affect everybody.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you too very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate having this time with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
I know that our listeners will very much be glad to hear about this.
You've been listening to my interview with Kivette Palmas and Mary Vent from Power, Parents Organizing for Welfare and Economic Rights. We have one more message and then some last words about the closing of our interview. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to rediscover some of the biggest forgotten hits of days gone by? How about the stories behind some of your favorite forgotten songs? Then get ready for a blast from the past. Here's some of what you can do. Tune in to Blast from the Past every Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. with DJ Jimmy Inferno, and you'll hear some of the biggest forgotten hits of yesteryear. Only on 89.3 FM, KAOS, Olympia Community Radio. We'll be right back.
I had a wonderful time interviewing Kivett and Mary, and on the way out, they let me take some pictures of them and of all the things I missed when I first came in. You can see some of what I describe on their own Facebook page, and the pictures I took are posted on the Pathways to Agency Facebook page. Inside the cute building nestled between Orca Books and Rainy Day Records at 309 Fifth Avenue Southeast in downtown Olympia, painted a deep red-orange with bright flowers and a colorful mesmerizing bird, is a cozy wood-paneled reception room filled with creative projects and information. Immediately to the right of the door is a stand of local honey for sale at a 10% discount with some amazing and creative art from the Bum Jug Collective. Filling the adjacent wall are hung the sock monkeys, each lovingly created with their stories right next to them. You can see an example of one in the delicate pink and feathered fluff of Mary's own Grandma Minnie sock monkey and story. Seeing the monkeys melted my heart, then filled it with love. On the wall opposite is arranged hanging and on a table all manner of artful creations that just looking at them for a moment inspired me. To the left of the door is hung important information and an active petition you can sign about tenants' rights and the cost of rent. Check out their website, mamapower.org, mamapower.org, to learn more about Power, and follow them on Facebook by typing in search, Parents Organizing for Welfare and Economic Rights. There you can find out about when their workshops are coming up with the Events tab. Be on the lookout for an open workshop announcement coming up in December. Give them a call at 360-352-9716, and you can email them at info@mamapower.org. That's it for today's resource report produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org. Also, for up to 2 weeks, you can still listen to today's show by going to chaosradio.org and finding the archive in the Programs drop-down in the menu. You can also find our shows archived indefinitely on rss.com. Check our Facebook page for updates for our next show, where we will hear all about an organization also downtown called Peer Olympia. Chaos Radio is not responsible or liable for any views or opinions expressed in the interviews conducted by Resource Report. Till next time, and thanks for listening.